podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
So care about by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. Alt rock. I messed that up. Altrockradio.ca. XRPradio.co.uk. So for those of you keeping track, it's Pennsylvania. That's St. Louis. That's Canada, Mississauga, just in Toronto, outside Toronto, and Birmingham, United Kingdom is the XRP radio. We also have on the west coast of the United States, RootaRooRadio.com. They're on the beaches of San Diego. And now that I did all that explaining, I can't remember if I got them all. So I'm going to cheat here for a moment. I'm going to go look at my own website, make sure I didn't. Here we go. Let's see. XRP, Mega Rock, Build the Scene. I didn't mention Build the Scene, my own radio station, buildthescene.com, right here in Leechburg, Pennsylvania, on the eastern side of the United States. We're getting off to a great start. I can't even remember my own website. With me tonight for episode number 539 is Jeff Betton from Misra Records and Wild Kindness Records. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Bill. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you run two different labels in the Pittsburgh music scene. Sure. And I know we had a conversation months ago when we first booked this about the two of them. And so what, first of all, I feel like Wild Kindness the one that you actually started?
So I didn't actually start either one. But that Wild Kindness Records is the record label I started at first, basically. So that's the one that people associate with me first. And I think that they think that I started maybe because they had never heard of it before I took over. Misra had a little bit more of a, you know, legacy behind it when I came on board. So how did
you end up at Misra?
So the cool thing with Misra is that we at Wild Kindness Records at the time had been working with them a little bit. They were based out of Dayton, Ohio. We were based out of Misra was based out of Dayton. Wild Kindness was based out of Youngstown at the time. So there was kind of like an Ohio Rust Belt connection with those two labels. We had released a couple of 7-inches together. And basically, I was a bull in a china shop. when I came into Wild Kindness Records, I was there to kick ass and chew bubblegum, basically. And Misra,
did you just quote Roddy Piper?
I did quote Roddy Piper. But yeah, so and they were just and Misra took notice, basically, and I had a great relationship with the head of Misra at the time. And when, you know, he retired basically to settle in for a life at the university, he took an academic job. Basically, he knew that, you know, we had a good relationship. He knew that I was young and hungry, and he told the rest of the label, he told the board of directors, like, hey, if you're looking for my replacement, this guy right here. And so that's kind of how I got the job, and I would have been, you know, foolish not to take it. It was, it was a big opportunity. I always tell people, it's like, well, you know, with Misra, I get my phone calls return a lot easier. It's not the most well-known record label in the world, but there's definitely a segment of, indie music fans, you know, for the last 20 years or so, where, you know, it's not one record, but they all have like a specific record that they'll hang on to, whether it's Centromatic or whether it's Destroyer or whether it's Phosphorescent. But a certain subset of music fans will really latch onto it and like, oh my God.
Well, right before we came on air, I looked over to the artist roster, and we've actually been playing Bad Custer. I didn't even realize they were a miserable band. I can't remember how I came across them. Yes, I do. One of them, the father owns a house that they do house shows at.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, that's Chris has been on your show. Yeah.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
That's where that came from. I played it on that episode.
They actually, the band and Chris have lived maybe a mile apart from each other like their entire lives, and I was the one who actually introduced them to each other. So that was cool. It's just funny how that connected all.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the artist, the roster? Do you want to mention, do some name dropping?
Oh, well, I did a little bit already. I always tell people too, is like when I took over Wild Kindness Records, I had this very grandiose idea that was like, I might have been a little inebriated at the time. I said my goal was there are going to be two kinds of bands in Pittsburgh: those who are signed to my label and those who want to be signed to my label. And we've really focused on quality, especially in southwestern Pennsylvania. A lot has gone wrong in 2020, but some has gone right as well. And something I'm very proud of is that 91.3 FM WYEP, the alternative music station here in Pittsburgh, they had never had a local band hit number one before 2020. And in March of this year, right before, you know, everything went a little sideways.
I laugh because since that happened, it comes up in every episode. But it kind of crushed the music industry.
Really did.
Yeah.
But we actually, then prior to 2020, they had never had a local Pittsburgh band hit number one on their charts. And in March of 2020, we did it actually twice back to back. The first time with a band called Buffalo Rose, well, actually Bentley Hardware Company, then Buffalo Rose. And so we were very proud of that we were able to break through for not everyone just on label, but for local music in general here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So while you were speaking, I looked at Misra's artist roster, and I play Six-O-Matic too.
There you go. We love Six-O-Matic. Yeah, they it's just one of those things where it's like I feel like a lot of people maybe wouldn't get it. Of course, though, the great thing is, so last summer I was hanging out with Charlie Deitch, the editor of the Pittsburgh Current, and I mentioned that we had just signed Six-O-Matic, and he showed me a sticker he had on his computer for Six-O-Matic. So they cut deep. I mean, best ambient music bag player in the city.
So how do you go about taking on new artists? Do you do how do you react to stuff that's mailed into you without you asking for it, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, we always keep the door open because honestly, the best music that's ever come across my desk was completely unsolicited. A kid sends me an MP3 or a SoundCloud profile, from his dorm room, and doesn't have a band, has no social media presence whatsoever, but he's got a vision. And I've been able to steer that to, almost a million plays on Spotify.
Okay, now I have to know. who was that?
So you'll be able to check that out. The song is 2 a.m. Chinatown. The band is Primaveras. Cool. But I think you'll like it. It's a little bit of like new wave disco kind of flavor.
Also, my next question is, how do you hook up with a band from Cairo, Egypt?
The power of the internet, honestly.
It's a Sun for Moon.
Yeah, Sun for Moon. So actually, they've and they played Pittsburgh too. They played Garfield Artworks in 2012, 2013, right when I was coming on board. She was actually a backup singer for MIA, actually, of Paper Planes fame, for your listeners. But it's just one of those things that it's, we're from all corners of the globe. I mean, we work with people from, you know, New Zealand and Norway and, you know, Egypt.
Let me switch back over to Mizra and take a look at that artist list again.
Yeah, sure.
Bouncing back and forth. I have two monitors set up. There it goes. See, Andre Costello, I know him. I don't play, but no. Well, no of him, I should say. It's definitely a lot of musicians on both rosters that I've heard of that I need to contact.
The problem that you're going to have after this episode is I have a voracious appetite for music. I'm kind of an omnivore. I just bring it all in.
Normally, like I ask bands if they were going to put together a supergroup of musicians from the Pittsburgh music scene to manage, who would they put in the band? And I feel like that's one that you could probably tackle.
I'm kind of doing that to a degree. I mean, I would. There's so many great musicians too, and that's the thing that we're always trying to let people realize is that, like, this is the Nashville of the North. Honestly, there the talent we have here. You know, every time they have Deutschtown or there's some contest to submit music, they get overwhelmed, and it's not, you know, for lack of trying. It's quality submissions, and I tell people all the time, it's like there's no real need for you to move from New York or LA or Nashville because you know, you want to stay where you're supported, where you're loved, and it's just something where, like, you can continue to create your art without feeling judged and, you know, feel like you're competing with, you know, $1 million is like, you've got $1,000, you're doing pretty well here in Pittsburgh. You gotta make sure, you know, we mentioned Andre Costello, Chet Vincent's another great voice, you know, in terms of, you know, rock vocals. Probably one of the better rock vocalists. The Hawkeyes, Jay Wiley is another great rock vocalist. We definitely have to mention Morgan Arena, who's more of an acoustic person. I don't know if she's necessarily folk, but just the most, you know, haunting, ethereal vocals you'll come across. Someone who we're very proud of actually recently, who's gone on to bigger and better things, which is something we pride ourselves on, is an artist by the name of Benji, who's a resident of the North Side. He has recently joined the supergroup Spillage Village, and they had a Tiny Desk concert not too long ago. And they released an album earlier this year. That's probably by most metrics is going to be, you know, critically a top 10 album of the year. Spigillion, probably going to receive some Grammy nominations as well. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited to see them move on to bigger and brighter things. You know, I always tell people Mizra has a long record of just picking talent more than anything else. Like we call them as we see them.
Well, Mizra was founded in, if I remember correctly, 1999.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
way back,
even before this show was started.
Nice.
And this show is 16 years old. It was 2004. So only 5 years before, but before. I mean, I was still doing a lot of what I do now back then. Mm-hmm. I started working with bands in like 96, but the show didn't exist until 8 years later. But so
yeah.
If someone wanted to send a submission to either one of the labels, Wild Kindness or Mizra, how would they go about that?
We have contact forms on both websites. You know, a lot of people in Pittsburgh just reach out to me individually on social media as well. And they used to find me at the bars or at the venues too, but that's not so much the case anymore, unfortunately.
There's that COVID effect again.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, we're not looking for people who have a million streams on Spotify already, but we look for people who are interacting with the community and finding something or hitting a nerve of some way, shape, or form. Yeah, we look for someone who's finding a way to make a connection, basically. And if you have that emotional intelligence, basically, and yeah, if you have a way to catch, if you have a way to break through, we like to think of ourselves as people who are able to see beyond the raw numbers too. So we never turn someone away because they don't meet a certain threshold. But if we look at them when we see that they have, you know, we feel that they have an it factor, then, you know, we would potentially be interested in them.
Cool. And you can help them with those numbers after the fact, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what a label's for, honestly, even in this day and age. I always tell people, it's like, well, you know, let's take the Pepsi challenge. Like, look at your Spotify numbers before you work with us and look at what happens to your numbers after you work with us, and then decide if you want to keep working with us.
It's recently in not really an argument, because I wasn't arguing, but other people were in a Facebook group called the World Metal Scene.
Okay.
And they posted an article about Gene Simmons saying that the music scene is basically dead because of the way everything has changed. And I kind of agreed with him, but not in the way that everyone took it. I feel like, and you're probably going to agree, the label system from when they first got signed in the early 70s, that's gone. Sure. You know, it's not, they don't hand you millions of dollars and say, here, make us some money. It's not how it works anymore. So I kind of agreed with him. It is gone. It's dead, but it's not gone dead, which is going to sound weird. It's adapted and changed. So of course Gene Simmons is going to think it's dead because it's not what he did.
Well, I mean, that's just something where, like, the more things change, the more things change. Same when I was coming up, even before, you know, young people today will look at it, before there was Spotify and everything, there was articles that would just, like, make people aware. It's like Steve Albini, the guy who produced Nirvana, had a very famous article just laying out the math for people. It was like explicitly like, okay, well, if the record label advances you $500,000 and this is what your recording costs are, and this is how much it costs to make the music video, and this is how much it costs to buy a tour bus, you know, here's how in debt you are.
Yeah. You're not really making money, but the thing is, at this point in time, because everything's pretty much streamed, the bands are really making their money off of ticket sales and off of merchandise, which wasn't the case before.
Yeah, it kind of flipped it. I mean, several artists have made the observation that, you know, it used to be the fact that you would make a record and then touring was just part of the marketing. And now the album is basically the marketing, and it gives you a reason to go out and tour some more.
So you would agree then that the label system that Gene Simmons was referring to is dead.
Oh, it absolutely is.
So what we're going to do next, and I'm flying blindly with this.
Sure.
I want you to tell me which two artists I'm going to play tonight. You can pick from either label.
Oh my goodness. Well,
and for the record, I am putting him on the spot so the rest of you artists, we have talked about him sending me more music for the radio station and for the podcast. So it's not that he's shying away from anyone. It's that I put a limit on it.
So here's what I'm going to do. And I'll just pick from two Misra artists, with some recent music. One, because I know you've got it in the system already. Let's represent Bad Cusser, because shout out to Chris Lea at Liveberg Studio and the Bad Cusser boys, because they're putting in the work and good things are happening for them. So we want to reward that. And the second, let's do a track from Binley Hardware Company, because John Binley was one of the guys who had one of his number one records earlier this year that I told you about. And also, he had a really cool special premiere actually earlier this week on WQED.
For those of you that are not in the area,
PBS.
I don't know. Is PBS in the United Kingdom?
I'm not sure. I think
I guess we'll find out. or up north in Canada.
I think they've got counterparts that's in PBS programs there, but he has a hardware company in the city of Pittsburgh that goes back 100 years or so, basically, and it's kind of him tracing his roots, and it's very cool. It kind of takes you on the kind of a tour of the city of Pittsburgh's history over the last 100 years.
That's cool. Yeah. All right. So we're going to play those two tracks. And I do have a giveaway announcement that's coming up. You'll get to hear that as we come back after the music. And then we'll have some more questions for Jeff.
Town. Gonna have myself a drink, then have a look around. Everybody's got a name tag, and no one knows my name. Elevators down the hall, I'm in room 238. We'll be right back.
sleep last night. I was a mess. I was thinking of so many things that haven't happened yet. And these dreams last night gave me the sweats, and I kept imagining every possible consequence. But I know
So check this out, Pennsylvania Rock Show listeners. This is Bill. I'm going to have some cool items to give away to my U.S. listeners related to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the very near future. You're going to have to listen to the upcoming shows for the ways to win them. They are 10 Blu-ray copies of the Doobie Brothers live from the Beacon Theater and 10 limited edition HBO Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony posters. Pretty cool, right? So here it is. Ready? Pain and Beauty, Rebellion and Unity, Noise and Harmony. Celebrate the history of the music with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2020 inductions, honoring Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, the Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex. Streaming November 7th on HBO Max.
Okay, so that was Lies of the Few by Bad Custer, and that was Future Trippin' by Benley Hardware Company, which was the track that actually was the first local Pittsburgh band that had hit number one on our AAA station here in Pittsburgh, 91.3 WYEP. We are very proud of breaking that barrier.
So that was Jeff Benton from Misra Records and Wild Kindness Records, who's with me tonight, bringing us back in. That's usually my job, but passed it on today.
Very nice.
So yeah, Jeff, where can my listeners find the artists from both labels online? Like, I have MisraRecords.com listed here on this video.
Oh yeah.
The listeners won't be able to see that.
Well, if they go to MisraRecords.com, that's M-I-S-R-A Records.com, we link to all of our artists. We try to do our best to send them to Bandcamp, which is, in terms of the current modern landscape, is doing the best out of all the platforms to truly support independent music. You know, you're not getting pennies on the dollars. You're getting actual dollars when you do a sale through the Bandcamp.
Well, there's that, and the fact that every so often they have the Fridays where they just take their cut.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. As opposed to getting, you know, you get an extra 10 to 15% typically, and in general too, it kind of gives people a reason to go shopping. I know personally, I've bought a lot of vinyl recently over the summer and the spring, just because, you know, the social media gets so hyped up, and then you kind of get caught up into it. It's like, well, I could, you know, what's new these days? Someone recommend a good record for me. So someone tell me something that I might enjoy, and then I spend the evening kind of clicking around, and then it's like, oh yeah, I like this record, I like this record, and I ended up buying, you know, half a dozen records.
You know,
it's
what
a good way to discover music. And
I'm going to edit our banner here for a minute.
Yeah.
I am going to add Wild Kindness to there and get rid of Build the Scene. I don't do that ever.
Oh,
well. Here we go. So there in the video, you can see both domains now, miserrecords.com and wildkindness.com. I can't point to Wild Kindness. Jeff's going to have to do that. But I can point to Misery Records. See that? It's hard. That's why I switched. I used to have Build the Scene list at first, but then I could never point to the guest's website address. So I had to reverse them. So wildkindness.com to find those artists. Mm-hmm. Miserrecords.com to find that roster. Let me think. You're an artist yourself, right?
I am, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give you a couple artist questions. Sure. So if you had the chance to meet your number one influence, the one artist that you consider your biggest idol, but you can only ask one question, what question would you ask?
That's a good one. Well, the good news is I don't know if it would matter what question I would ask, because I feel like the person I would want to meet is Brian Eno, who actually, I mean, he's got a, if people don't know, he's a performer, he's a musician, he was in the band Roxy Music in the 70s, but you might also know him as a producer of the biggest U2 records of all time. Pretty much any U2 record you're aware of, he produced, the Joshua Tree probably being the most prominent of them. But he's also had a successful career as a solo artist, and he's also worked with the Talking Heads. He's worked with the band James. He's worked with many, many artists. He was actually the guy who, if you had a computer in the 90s, he was the guy who created the Microsoft sound. That 3 to 4 second little ding when it boots up, that was his composition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't know.
Did he get royalties for that?
I think he got us, it was a work for hire technically, so they paid him a flat fee. And
I could you imagine the royalties if it...
Well, I think they were smart to just say, like, here's a sack with a dollar sign on it, you know, come up with something for us. But yeah, so I don't know. He's famous for having, like, he came up with this deck of cards too. So like, basically whenever it's almost supposed to be kind of like a palm reading, basically, for if you're in a recording studio. Like, you can just kind of like flip the cards over. It's like almost like tarot, basically, where like they just have like these like a fortune cookie answers, or it's like something non-committal, but it says like, try something, you know, unexpected, or try something expected. Just so if you're stuck, you can flip a card over, and hopefully it gets you unstuck from your writer's block. So yeah, I would maybe ask him something almost totally arbitrary and ask him, you know, what card should I pick? Yeah, I just show him the deck and just tell him like, what card do you think I should pull, and just have him pick a card out of the deck. Because a lot of his philosophy is just randomness too. Like, he's created a lot of ambient. He's actually the guy who created the genre of ambient music, in modern terms, believe it or not. So, very interesting guy.
Let's see, I'm gonna have to go look him up now.
Yeah. E-N-O, Brian Eno.
I want you to think about your favorite album of all time.
Ooh, okay.
And now I want you to imagine having to forget it.
Okay.
And listen to it all over for the very first time. What album would you want to listen to for the very first time again? So you can have that moment of elation where you're like, this is so good.
Well, the album is Pet Sounds by Brian Wilson. And Brian Wilson famously said that album is more meant to be felt than it is to be listened to necessarily. So it's by that, which means like, you just got to feel the feelings that come with you when you're hearing that, as opposed to like critically listening to it. So that's, I would pick that just because, you know, to really feel the emotions that just flood over you when you're listening to that, you know, Wouldn't It Be Nice and God Only Knows. So many classic songs on that album. Yeah, just to really feel that again for the first time would definitely be emotionally satisfying.
Okay, here's another tough one, but another chance for you to mention another artist. And it kind of holds true to what's going on in the world today. So an apocalyptic event happens on Earth and wipes out a good portion of the humans.
Yeah.
And one song from every recording artist survives. I want you to pick one of your artists and the song that you feel should be around to help repopulate the Earth.
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say one of the songs that should truly fit that criteria would be the song Christian Name by a guy who's not actually Pittsburgh, but he's kind of an honorary Pittsburgher because he's from Morgantown, West Virginia, and we count that basically for our metro area.
Morgantown, Youngstown, yeah, there's we claim parts of
yeah, Morgantown's right over the southern border of Pennsylvania.
Right, and then we go into Ohio to Youngstown.
Exactly. It's close enough that, like, yeah, he's, for all intents and purposes, he's kind of a metropolitan area Pittsburgher. But, yeah, the song Christian Name by the artist William Matheny, it's a song that he wrote kind of about life on the road when he's touring and kind of how... you know, how he was kind of coping with those challenges and kind of seeing it through. So if there was an end of the world event, if there was an apocalypse, hopefully that would give people, you know, some kind of inspiration to keep on keeping on, basically.
Cool. All right, last question.
Yeah.
And now I have to decide which one I'm going to ask you. I know. I'll ask you the Diesel Beast question. Some questions gain a name over the years. And Diesel Beast question. Okay. Diesel Beast is a metal band out of Fenton, Texas.
Okay.
And I love their answer. So that's why this is deemed Diesel Beast. And I'll even tell you what their answer was after your answer. So the question is, as an artist, if you could open for any band, which band would it be, and at what venue would you want to open for them at, with?
That's a great question. I mean, my answer is going to be just very based in personal memory, because I saw Iron and Wine about the year 2008 when The Shepherd's Dog was coming out, that album. And Kellyphone opened for them, and I've kind of built a lot of my my musical stylings kind of in that same vein, and I always feel like I could definitely do something along those lines. So yeah, and just in general too, it was a fantastic show, and Greensburg, Pennsylvania is just I'm always quite fond of that city. So, and the Greensburg in the palace is just such a—it's a beautiful theater. It's like an old school theater where, like, you know, for people who don't know, you know, theaters before they invented electricity had to be designed, you know, architecturally in a way that sound carried pleasantly. You know, no matter where you were seated, much like churches, and the palace is very much in that same style.
I've never actually seen a concert there, but I have seen a play there.
There you go. So it's the same way where they don't have to have microphones necessarily, but you know, they can just kind of speak and you can hear them. No matter where you're sitting, there's not really a bad seat in the house because they designed it in a way that the sound can bounce around.
So do you want to know Diesel Beast's answer?
Sure.
So they wanted to play with Dio.
Okay.
At Stonehenge.
Oh, that's a good one.
So that's why it's the Diesel Beast question. I was like, well, maybe that's why Stonehenge exists. Maybe it's there to bring Dio back.
Possibly.
But. All right, Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on episode number 539.
Thanks, Bill. Pleasure to have me.
Once again, you can check out miserarecords.com, wildkindness.com, and jeffbetten.com.
Yes, indeed.
B-E-T-T-E-N-N. And Jeff is J-E-F-F. None of that G-O stuff.
J-E-F-F-B-E-T-T-E-N.com. That's right.
There you go. I don't have enough room to add that one.
That's fine.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to play some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. And you'll know that the show is over when you hear John Lane from the Hellfire Club give our outro. You can check us out each and every Friday by going to buildascene.com. Next week, we have Gonto and Friends. On the 13th, we have Three Vultures, which is an Ohio band, but their drummer was born in Kittanning, Pennsylvania. And coincidentally, his dad is John Lane that's going to do the outro. Half Wheel will be on the show on the 20th, Brad Abbott on the 27th, Royal Honey on December 4th, Joel Miller, author of Memoir of a Roadie, on December 11th, Robert Wagner on December 18th, the Christmas special, December 25th, Christina Santavica of the Shadow Event. We're going to do a role reversal. We're going to play Christmas music and she's going to interview me. On January 1st, Parabellum will be on. After the Fall on the 8th, Corners of Sanctuary on the 15th, and the Rust Project on the 22nd of January. That's how our schedule stands for right now. If you would like to be added to that schedule, you can drop me an email, bill@buildthescene.com, or find me on Facebook at facebook.com/buildthescene. Once again, don't forget to check out miserarecords.com, wildkindness.com, and jeffbetten.com. And we will see you next week.
I have a someone else is mine.
We'll be right back. This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.